The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them out into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again at around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who bore the day's burden in the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Even after some 16 years as a priest and in the years in the seminary, every time I read this gospel, it always rings unfair. Dang, why does he do it like that? Does he have to? It strikes us that way, doesn't it? He's giving these other people who didn't work as much the same thing, the same daily wage, But as you know, whenever Jesus creates these parables, these stories he makes up to teach us something about who he is and how he wants to relate to us, there's something absolutely timeless about it. Not just in the overarching lesson at the end, but even this one is like, man, this could happen today. It's first of all, it has to do with getting paid just wages. Well, that's something that's been universal for all of the history of the human race. And even today, the same thing plays out, maybe not so much right here in Manhattan, but you go out in the suburbs and the same kind of thing can happen. And it usually happens in front of Home Depot. There's the guys there that are looking to work for the day, and the contractors come by and they'll pick up some. "Hey, we need someone that does brick, we need someone that does electric," and they pick them up and they agree to a wage, and then they receive that at the end of the day. So it's something that for 2,000 years, this has still been relevant. It's just pretty cool when you think about it. But that doesn't take away the thing that Jesus puts in here intentionally. He puts an injustice. Different work, same pay. Try doing that in a corporation today or in a business. Different work, same pay. Or same work, different pay. Same thing, right? Already it's like, yeah, just try to pull that off anywhere else and see how that goes. See if you don't end up with a lawsuit, you don't end up with a strike on your hands, it's just not going to play. Or if it happens to you, immediately say, okay, I worked the same hours as this person, they get different pay. I worked more hours and we get the same pay. It just doesn't add up here. But this is where the church is helping us with the interpretation, because already if we look at the gospels, a parable, something that Jesus is doing, and we say, "Hey Jesus, that's not right," guess who's going to be wrong in that situation? To the first reading here, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. There's usually two attitudes that can come up again when we run up against our Lord's thoughts and our Lord's ways and his paths. And the first one is like what these first workers were doing, the ones who worked all day. So, okay, yeah, Lord, your ways are your ways, and they're not my ways, but your ways are unfair. I've worked all day. I've suffered. This person has committed injustice against me. Where were you, Lord? Why didn't that stop? What about this illness that I have? That's not fair. Why do I have to go through this? Why do we have to have these things? Why this? Why? And we look at it, and without being totally off base, we can look and realize, no, there's something intrinsically wrong about this situation that isn't as it should be, could be. And we know that this is it's evil. Evil manifests in the world. Evil manifests in my own life, affecting me. It could be physical. It could be spiritual. It could be some human type thing. Lord, your ways are unfair, is an attitude that can crop up. But there's another attitude too, and I want you to put yourselves into the shoes of these people, that the men who only worked 1 hour or worked 2 or 3 hours. Can you imagine what it'd be like? You're there standing out there all day waiting, and, oh, I didn't get picked up the first time. Nobody picked me up the second time. The third time, wondering, am I going to go home empty-handed? How are my kids going to eat? What about my family? How am I going to pay rent? And out of nowhere comes, after 1 hour of work, someone gives you everything that you need? I mean, your heart's going to be full of gratitude. You'd be recognizing the gratuitousness of this gift that comes. And then the response to, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, you'd be saying to the Lord, well, thanks be to God, they're not the way I think. Because I know that the way I think, and the way in truth it seems the whole world thinks, is that if you work 1 hour, you get paid for 1 hour. Yet you're giving me gratuitously these things I need but don't deserve. So let's go back into the gospel. What are both receiving? A day's wage. At the end of the day, the owner comes along to pay each one the daily wage. Okay, so this is scripture, and scripture always has layers of meaning, and it's not just always the literal thing that's on the page. Well, when Jesus talks about payment at the end of the day, he's not just talking about payment at the end. He's talking about the final, ultimate payment at the end of our lives. That's what he's talking about. That's the reference here. I'm going to give you every good thing that you want, every good thing that you need. Fill your heart beyond your wildest imaginations. Give you peace and joy and enthusiasm and just, it's just going to blow your mind. It's going to be so good. That's what I'm going to pay you. And these first ones that work the whole day, they get up there and say, oh, wow, thank you so much. This is great. But why does he get to be here? He didn't do so much. She didn't carry the days. It's like, wait a minute, that's not quite the right attitude. I mean, are you just couched in those terms? You see how ridiculous that is. Get to heaven and start, okay, thank you, Lord. This is wonderful. But that guy, that lady, this kid over here, are you sure about that? Maybe something happened in the accounting, that something slipped through here. Because obviously you wouldn't be unjust, Lord. Our Lord is so generous, and he wants to give us every possible thing that we can receive. But he doesn't force it on us. And so for these who show up to heaven and with the attitude of, yes, thank you, I deserve to be here, this is the just reward, but not for him, not for him. Already it's like your heart's like shrinking back down. It's limiting what you can receive. Blessings in this life and blessings in the next aren't limited by God's generosity. It's limited by our ability to receive it. And if we have this attitude of, okay, not him, not this person, not her, not her, it's like already, yeah, you just limited your own ability to receive the blessing God wants to give you. As the last line goes, are you envious because I'm generous? We envy the fact that others are getting something that I too am getting. Shouldn't I be above everybody else, these other people? But what I want you to take away from this, though, is the attitude of what must be the attitude of those who didn't work so hard because they didn't have the opportunity and yet received the same glory, the same joy of the eternal life that our Lord's pointing towards. There's been studies done in Yale. I don't know if you're familiar with. They have like a course on happiness. You know, they're not the only ones, but someone just yesterday I was talking to them that had taken the course there. And there's scientific studies done, psychological studies on the fruits of gratitude. Again, it's a secular institute. They're an institution. They're not trying to promote the faith here. But when the studies they have it, those who foster gratitude in their hearts tend to have increase of happiness, lower stress, lower blood pressure, a boost to the immune system, because they're exercising gratitude. In a certain way, to me, that makes total sense. Because if God made our hearts to be in a certain way, our whole organism is going to flourish when we actually live like that. So we strive to live gratitude, and we foster it in our hearts, and then like everything starts getting aligned. We get the whole chiropractic adjustment that just our whole body starts coming together in a way that it wasn't before. Even on a physical level. Our soul and our body are united. They're together. They affect each other. They're not like two separate things that just happen to be connected by our brain. So what this course does, one of the things that they promote this idea of practicing gratitude. And so they'll have, like, one of the things is gratitude journaling that they'll recommend. They'll say, okay, well, at least once a day for 5 minutes, sit down and start writing down all the things that you're grateful for. Well, Yale didn't make this stuff up either. They're not making this out of, creating this out of nothing. This has been something that's been part of the Catholic tradition for millennia and part of the Judeo-tradition as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to wake up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for the rain that's washing the streets clean. Thank you, Lord, that I get to sit in here right now. And this is a beautiful place, Lord. Thank you for the beauty. And thank you that I get to listen to this music, too, that plays. And thank you for my health And Lord, thank you for this other bump in the road that slowed me down and made me rethink my priorities. And Lord, thank you for the hot shower. And Lord, thank you for breakfast this morning. We are just so, so, so incredibly blessed. Everybody is so, so, so incredibly blessed. Even those that have way less than what we do, even those who are in going through tremendous trial and suffering. But as we spend time on that, foster that give thanks to the one who gives it to us. It just changes everything, and it opens up our hearts that we're able to receive even more. God's generosity is far beyond your ability to ask. He only invites us to open our heart to be able to receive it, instead of closing it down and making comparisons. Well, what about him? And I worked harder, and that's not human flourishing. But thank you, Lord. Thank you for your many blessings. That is human flourishing. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.